Portland later.
It's Texaco Time, starring Fred Allen, with Adolph Monju, Joan Merrill, Portland Hopper, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. This is Jimmy Wallington inviting you to hear the Texaco Star Theater and bringing you a message from Texaco dealers coast to coast. A message that can be expressed in two words. You're welcome. For you are welcome at your Texaco dealers, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to all of its practical help in solving today's driving problems and keeping your car in condition to deliver your essential transportation. His regular care and service with Texaco quality products can mean more mileage from your tires, your car, and your gasoline. So see your Texaco dealer regularly. You're welcome to every service he can give to help you care for your car, for your country. Ladies and gentlemen, when the new social register came out last week, several familiar names were missing. Tonight we bring you a man who can't even get his name in the phone book. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, bingo has been banned in New York, so you folks who have been coming into the studio here Sunday nights to play bingo are out of luck tonight. Tonight, you just have to sit here and watch the program. The doors are locked, so there's nothing you can do about it.
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland. What's up, Portland? You look excited.
Well, Arthur Godfrey isn't here yet.
Well, I know that, Portland. Arthur made a screen test for 20th Century Fox last week, and it came out swell. Now, Arthur's getting ready to go to Hollywood.
Well, who is this new announcer?
Who knows? I called up the employment agency. I said, send me a good radio announcer to go with a tall microphone. And this bird showed up.
He looks like Jimmy Wallington.
Well, it is Jimmy Wallington, Portland, in what's left of the flesh. You remember Portland, Jimmy.
Why, sure. Hello, Portland.
It's nice to see you back, Jimmy.
Thanks, Portland. How's the program been going, Pop?
Fine, James.
How's Jack Benny been doing?
Well, he's scraping along. He's working on quiz shows. He was stooging for that comedian with the Popeyes last week. Trying to get the Mad Russian's job, I guess. Did you folks hear Benny's program tonight?
No.
What happened, Fred?
Well, you know how it is with a Benny program, Jimmy. You either like it or you don't like it. I must be getting in a rut. I don't know. Well, the show came from Palm Springs tonight. That's in the desert, you know. It took science 200 years to make things grow on the desert. In 30 minutes, Benny covered the desert with corn. I mean, yes, sir, the desert didn't even know what hot air was until Benny covered the desert. At the finish, I was going to say he horsed around, but he couldn't horse around on the desert. He cameled around. And at the finish of the program, he did a sketch, and in the sketch, Benny captured Rommel. Captured Rommel on the program. I guess Rommel figured if he gave up, Benny would give up, too. Well, so much for the old flaky old grape nut. Let's turn to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C. Members of President's Joint Labor Advisory Council, after a recent conference, say that registration of woman power may start before the first of the year. March of Trivia tonight checks on nationwide reaction to the increased use of women in men's jobs. Otis Otis, head of a construction company, says,
in our business, employing women is a headache.
Well, how do you mean, Mr. Otis?
Well, since the company started using women sand hogs, we had to put a powder room in the decompression chamber.
Thank you, Mr. Otis. A worker who explains the women's viewpoint, Mrs. Benet Dubrowski.
Say, can you announce that I'm appearing through the courtesy of the CIO?
Yes, we'll announce it later. We'll have a slide come down.
Oh, thanks. I got 200 pickets with a portable radio listening in.
Outside? I wouldn't put a duck out on a night like this. Fine. Well, how do you feel about women working, Benet?
Well, for married women, it can break up their home.
Your home was broken out?
Yeah. I was a steam fitter. I was getting $2 an hour.
Uh-huh.
My husband was a good humor man.
Your husband was a good humor man, huh?
He was getting a commission and all the pistachio he could eat.
Your husband wasn't doing so well.
Nah. Some nights he'd come home with nothing but sticky lips.
And you?
Oh, every night I'm rolling in with 18 or 20 clams.
Well, did the difference in your salaries upset your husband?
Made him a somnambulance. He started walking in his sleep.
Well, walking in his sleep? Well, where would he walk?
Over to my slacks, and then he'd go through them.
And that broke up your home, huh?
There was a big fight. He packed up his popsicles and went back to live with his father.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, and thank you, Mrs. Renee Dabrowski. A well-meaning swain who has his troubles is Plato Gately. That's the name, Plato Gately, isn't it? Well, how do you feel... how do you feel about women working, Plato?
I broke off my engagement.
Broke off your engagement?
Yeah.
How?
Well, I was nuts about this girl. She was a plumber.
She was a... a plumber, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what? I know how she could plumb. What upset your plan?
Well, every night I take her out to a pitcher. I had to bring her home at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
Last night it was a double feature. I didn't bring her home till 12:30.
So?
This morning she sent me a bill.
A bill for what?
An hour and a half overtime.
Well, she knows how to keep the wolf away from her door, and thank you, Plato Gately. Well, I guess that cleans things.
Affamo, hail and howdy. Falstaff's here to act the rowdy.
Now, if you have more poems open, Shaw, I am getting out an injunction.
I have dedicated a new poem to Hitler.
What poem?
If it wasn't for a gremlin, I might have reached the Kremlin.
Well, look, I...
Have you heard, said the gorilla to the chinchilla, may I taste your sarsaparilla?
No, I haven't.
Or, stop winking at the quarterback, mother. He's not making those passes at you.
Now, wait. Yeah. Tonight, we happen to be talking about women in industry.
Precisely why I am here.
Don't tell me that you have contrived a poem.
No, tonight I have coined a ditty.
A dirge?
Who knows? I have brought the Punkapog puppeteers to sing it for us.
Oh, these are the Punkapog puppeteers, are
yes,
they?
Yes, the tall chap formerly kept company with one of the Andrew sisters.
Which one?
He wasn't particular.
And this little man here?
Oh, for 2 years he was the floor show at Hamburger Heaven.
He's not there now?
No, his hair started falling out. You have to be so careful around Hamburger.
Oh, I know.
When he gets completely bald, they want him back.
Well, he won't be long now. He'll be back there any minute. What about this, what about this women working song?
Are we in the mood, gentlemen?
Yes, Mr. Openshaw.
Let us, shall we?
My wife is working on the railroad. My mother-in-law's a whack. My daughter's learning to shoe horses. My mother's a lumberjack. My little niece has joined the Coast Guard. She sails the briny foam. Hey, you'll find a woman in every job today, but you won't find a woman. You can't find a woman. There are no women at home.
And the Punkapog puppeteer. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our singing guest tonight, a young lady whose voice you have heard in many pictures of late, Miss Joan Merrill. Joan is singing Manhattan Serenade.
I have a memory of a lovely refrain, and in my heart it will forever remain. Our song was like a blue picture. Manhattan was the start of it. We lived it and we love every part of it. The glow of moonlight in the park, the lights that spell your name, the autumn breeze that fans the fire, that set our hearts aflame. Our kiss was a sky ride to the highest star. We made it with our touching the handlebar. And I gave you my love to the melody of the music, the madness that made our Manhattan serenade. Our kiss was a sky ride to the highest star. We made it with our touching the handlebars. And I gave you my love to the melody.
Lovely. Say, Jimmy.
Yes, Fred?
Here's your commercial.
Hey, this is written in pencil.
Yes, Jimmy. I had to write it in pencil. You know, the Army and Navy want to buy 600,000 late model standard typewriters immediately, Jimmy. So I called up a typewriter dealer and turned my typewriter in to Uncle Sam. Naturally, I had to write the commercial tonight in longhand.
Yeah, but who can read this? It looks like the tract of a tired termite.
Now, wait a minute, Jimmy. No sarcasm. Just read it, if you will.
Well, I'll try.
Do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the sweater is getting older.
No, that's not sweater. That's the weather is getting colder, Jimmy. The weather is getting colder.
Take your cane to Mexico.
Not cane, that's a K. Take your car to Texaco. K-A-R.
Shucks, Fred. I'll just have to make something up out of my head.
Well, we're sunk now, but you go right ahead, Jimmy.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're still driving on these cold days with last summer's worn-out lubricant, look out. For neglect of proper lubrication can ruin irreplaceable parts. And if you're careless today, you may be carless tomorrow. Take your car around to your neighborhood Texaco dealer and get it ready for winter with the right grade of Texaco lubricant, a high-quality antifreeze, and a Marfax chassis job from stem to stern. It's as sensible as putting on an overcoat when winter comes. See your Texaco dealer tomorrow.
That was just a suggestion of Rumba Rumba, played by Al Goodman and 25 relatives on his mother's side. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Portland. Something you wanted?
Yes, I forgot. Mama told me to thank you for the turkey you sent us Thanksgiving.
Oh, the turkey. That's all right. It's an old custom.
It was an old turkey.
What do you mean? What do you mean, old?
Mama said it was a cold storage turkey.
Cold storage?
When Mama put it in the oven, the turkey thawed out and came back to life.
No kidding.
When Mama tried to baste it, the turkey threw cranberries at it.
The turkey threw cranberries? Well, how did your mother kill the gobbler?
My uncle Phil threw rocks in the oven till the turkey died.
Threw rocks in the oven at it, did he? Well, how did it taste? Tender, was it?
There wasn't any white meat on it.
Oh, that's silly. All turkeys have white meat.
Not this one. On account of the rocks, this turkey's meat was all black and blue.
Oh, black and blue. You had the first Technicolor turkey in town, I guess. Well, all right, Portland, I'm busy now. I have to welcome our guest, Adolph Monju, Hollywood's best-dressed man.
I know. I wrote an introduction for Mr. Monju, like they have in the movies, with credits.
With credits, really? How does it sound?
It starts with a fanfare.
Oh. Hollywood presents its best-dressed star, Adolph Monju. Mr. Monju's suit was made by Barney the tailor. Mr. Monju's shoes, cut Custom built by...
Adler Elevator Shoe Company.
Mr. Monju's necktie by...
Bloomingdale's Basement.
Mr. Monju's flower by...
Mrs. Stropopoulos, formerly outside of the Automat.
Mr. Monju's mustache serviced by...
I.J. Fox.
And here he is in person.
Mr. Adolph Monju.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Monju, I must say that in person, you are sort of a letdown.
You mean this plain gray suit, friend?
Yes, Mr. Monju. I thought surely you'd show up in lavender knickers, a pea-green Norfolk jacket, a polka-dot shirt, a burned orange beret, and snakeskin wedges.
Now, look, Fred, if you're going to start one of those tired routines about my clothes, I'm getting out of here so fast you'll be left with nothing but a faint aroma of bay rum.
Knowing that you have been here. Well, look, Mr. Monju, or may I call you Adolf?
Please don't.
Why not?
Well, a certain bewildered paper hanger has ruined the name of Adolf for all time.
And you are not kidding. Well, I'll come right to the point, Mr. Monju. I read that you have been doing shortwave broadcasts in foreign languages.
Yes, Fred, I've been doing some work for the Office of World Information, but how does that concern you?
Well, I'll tell you. I go on the air every week telling my jokes in English, you see, just in English. Now, half of our allies don't even know what I'm talking about. If you will translate one of my jokes into some foreign languages for me, you see, I can entertain more people.
Well, what is the joke?
Oh, any joke will do. Try this one. How can you keep a dead fish from smelling? Cut off its nose.
Well, now, that joke isn't even funny in English.
Well, maybe it will sound better in Spanish.
Well, all right, in Spanish it would be... ¿Cómo evitar que huela un pescado? Pues cortándole la nariz.
That is the end?
Yes, and it's probably the end of our good neighbor policy, too.
Well, you know, it might go better in Russian, Adolf. How would that sound?
Russian? Что вы нацине пашник? Потрежу нос.
Now, wait a minute. Adolf. I asked you to say, how can you keep a dead fish from smelling in Russian? I distinctly heard the word Nazi in there.
Yes? Nazi is the new Russian word for dead fish.
Good. I hear that the Nazi soldiers have been outside of Stalingrad so long, they're speaking German with a Russian accent now.
Well, the way the Germans are retreating, they're turning the Russian steps into an escalator.
Not bad at all. Well, tell me, Adolf, how would that dead fish gag sound in Chinese?
Well, in Chinese it would go, Wo Chin Chin Hun Shi Wan Chung Gu Yi Peng Yu.
Oh, that was wonderful, wonderful. Oh, that's the phone. Excuse me, Adolf. Hello?
Wang Ho, Shut down for Yang Wang Kao, Mr. Manjo.
Oh, it's for you, Adolf.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Sing Wang Tang, Sun Yat Chan Wu, Yang Chan Little Fu.
Oh, how, hum, how, ding, how, ding, how, me, you, father.
He called you up about the joke, did he?
Yes, it was very funny. He said, may you fadza, may you quadza, hung ho, pung you ho.
What is that translated?
Well, it means, that ain't the way I heard it.
Don't tell me that Confucius is writing for Fibber McGee now. You know, I think that translating my jokes is going to be a big thing, Adolf. What salary would you want to be my translator?
Well, it's morale work, Fred. I don't want any money.
Oh, you have to get paid. How about $1,000 a week?
No, Fred. You can't pull that on me.
Pull what, Adolf?
I know. With this new $25,000 ceiling, you're trying to get rid of some of your extra dough. Well, you're not shoving it off on me.
Now, wait a minute. You have to take some money.
Look, Fred, if I wanted to be a pig, I could have got on the Maxwell House program for a pound of coffee.
Don't tell me that you Hollywood stars are upset about the salary ceiling.
All the stars are worried, Fred.
They're cutting down, huh?
Why, the only actor who had meat on his table Thanksgiving Day was Bing Crosby.
Bing had a turkey?
Well, it looked pretty big for a turkey. I got a leg that was 4 feet long.
Adolf, you mean...
All I know is that I found a piece of harness in the gravy.
In the gravy. Well, how is Rudy Vallee holding out?
Oh, Rudy's still okay. He's wearing an annuity with sleeves in it.
Yes, please. You know, Rudy used to carry so much money in his stocking, he had to sleep with his left leg in a vault every night. But speaking of clothes, Adolph, you're an authority on dress. What do you think of this outfit I have on tonight?
Well, there's only one thing that puzzles me.
What's that, Adolph?
How did they ever stuff that suit in a Cracker Jack box?
Well,
suit looks as though George Washington slept in it.
Yes,
and that thing around your neck, is that a necktie, or did you make your getaway at a lynching?
Well, I thought...
And Fred, those button shoes aren't modern, even though each button says, keep them flying.
Yes, I guess I'm a mess, Adolph. I'm going out and buy myself a new suit.
A new suit? I can get it for you wholesale.
Wholesale?
Yes, I've got a little spot downtown. Now get your hat, Fred. We'll get down there right away.
Well, let's go, Adolph. Mr. Goodman, will you see us off downtown? Well, here we are downtown, Adolph. Are you sure you know where this wholesale suit place is?
Oh, yes, Fred. It's number 12.
12.
Oh, here we are. Hart, Schaffner and Horowitz. Wholesale clothing.
Fine. Now, remember, before we go in, Adolph, I want a blue serge, double-breasted suit with a stripe.
A blue serge, double-breasted with a stripe.
Fine. Now, let's go in.
No, gentlemen.
I'm Monjou. Gesundheit.
No, Monjou. Monjou.
Well, stop sneezing. It could be Kathy.
Now, wait. This is Adolph Monjou.
Who asked you?
Well, I thought...
If he knows who he is, he'll tell me.
Now, you remember me. I bought this suit I've got on here wholesale.
The suit I recall. It's you I don't remember.
But he's Adolph Monjou. You've seen him in the movies. Remember that picture, Roxy Hart?
I played a lawyer in the picture.
Oh, were you the lawyer for Tinsley Rogers?
That's right.
Twee on you, you shyster. What could I do for you?
My friend here wants a suit.
I got just the suit.
Now, wait a minute. You don't even know what I want yet.
So what? What you are going to want, I am going to have.
My friend wants to see something in a blue serge.
I got just the suit.
Is it a blue serge?
It's brown tweed.
Well, who wants brown? I want blue serge.
Yes, my friend has made up his mind. He wants to see a blue serge.
Okay, so I could give him a blue serge.
Fine.
But I wouldn't.
Well, why not?
My brother-in-law is wearing blue serge. Hui, that lowlifer.
Well, what has your brother-in-law got to do with me?
If I am seeing you in a blue serge suit, you are reminding me of my brother-in-law. I was scratching your eyes out.
This guy is nuts, Adolph. Let's get out of here.
So go ahead. Who's stopping you?
Take your finger out of my lapel.
Now, look, Fred. Why don't you just slip on the brown tweed? Don't forget it's wholesale.
Well, all right.
He'll see the brown.
Okay, Sam!
Come and see the brown.
Sam, bring in a 437 brown.
Coming out the 437 brown.
Brown. Blue is my favorite color. Brown.
Well, there's nothing smarter than a nice double-breasted brown suit.
Well, you ought to know, Adolph.
You will see this suit. Beautiful.
Is it double-breasted?
It's a zoot suit. The pants is double-breasted.
What about the coat?
Oh, the coat, a knockout. Single-breasted.
Now, wait a minute. You heard my friend?
Yes, you heard me. I want a double-breasted...
Gentlemen, please.
But I...
You could talk till doomsday. I wouldn't sell you a double-breasted number.
Well, why not?
My no-good brother-in-law is wearing double-breasted.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Come on, Adolph. Let's get out of here.
So go ahead. Someone is stopping you?
Take your hand out of my collar. All of it. The little finger, too.
Now, Fred, don't lose your head. After all, you're getting a suit wholesale. Why not have a look at the single-breasted brown tweed?
Well,
he'll see the single-breasted.
Okay, Sam!
Sam, all of us, Sam, to what?
Bring in a 437 brown single-breasted.
Coming up a 437, it should be single-breasted.
Not smell, Sam.
Sam, for 2 pins, I would enlist in the Union.
Why can't I get what I want? I always wear a double-breasted suit.
Well, it's time you change, Fred. I'd like to see you in a smart, single-breasted brown stripe.
Oh, stripes. Stripes flatter me.
Stripes. Oh, if you are liking stripes, this is your suit. A gorgeous brown single-breasted.
With a stripe?
With a check.
Why can't I have a stripe?
You are asking.
I am asking.
So I am telling. My brother-in-law wears stripes.
Again, your brother-in-law. Come on, let's go, Adolph.
Go, get out. I wouldn't sell you. Scram, go ahead.
Well, how can I go? You're standing on my feet here.
Say, Fred, I've just been thinking. A check might not be so bad as that. Lucius Beebe is wearing checks this season.
But, Adolph...
Oh, just try one on for me.
Well, okay.
You'll see the check.
Okay, Sam.
Stop yelling here.
Here is the suit.
Slipping the coat on this gentleman.
Okay, I'm slipping, border.
Now, wait, wait till I button the coat here.
Ever look, is that a suit?
Wait, what is that dragging on the floor?
The belt in the back. It's a little loose. This we are tightening.
Well, look, what are these three lapels here?
Oh, that's a victory suit. We are shaving cloth. Instead of two pairs of pants, every customer's getting three lapels.
Well, what do you think, Adolf?
Fred, it looks magnificent on you. That's the smartest suit I've seen this season.
You think?
Buy it, by all means.
All right, Adolf, if you say so, I'll take it. But isn't this left sleeve a little longer than the right?
This is keeping the rain off your wristwatch. Confidently, brother, I am advising you to snap it up.
Yes, Fred, you've certainly got yourself a bargain.
A bargain. I wanted a blue serge double-breasted suit with a stripe. I end up with this single-breasted brown tweed suit with a check and three lapels on it.
But don't forget, Fred, I got it for your wholesale.
You bet. A suit like this you couldn't buy on a pushcart for half the money.
All right. I didn't want it, but I bought it. Here's my card. Send the suit over to this address.
Oh, no. I am sending it to your new address.
What new address?
You're moving.
Moving? I've been living in this building for 12 years. I have a wonderful apartment. I have a nice landlord, and I'm very happy there.
If you are not moving, I am not delivering the suit.
Why not?
My brother-in-law is living in that building.
That is the last straw. If I have to move, the deal is off.
Keep the suit, Fred. I'll move.
Adolf, why should you move?
I'm the brother-in-law.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Adolf Monju. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, our guests will be Georgie Jessel and Miss Josephine Houston. And now, Jimmy, you have a message I know from Uncle Sam.
Yes, Fred. It's about an opportunity for men of 18 and 19 who will come under the Selective Service Act. Here's a way they can get their own choice of many Army jobs. They can now enlist immediately and take their pick of 13 different branches of the Army, including the Air Force, the Signal Corps, and many others. Men of 18 and 19 who join up now can learn more and advance faster. See your nearest Army recruiting station.
Thank you, Jimmy. This is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast, reminding you to drive under 35 to save rubber and to drive into your Texaco dealer regularly to have your tires checked. Remember, you're welcome. Good night. Thank you.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Stay tuned to this station for Take It or Leave It with Phil Baker. Then at 10:30, listen to Columbia's Report to the Nation. Tonight, this thrilling dramatic news program brings you Larry Lesser, CBS Moscow correspondent, Walter Cronkite, United Press North Africa, and Marine Lieutenant Donald McCafferty, Guadalcanal hero. 10 p.m., BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. WABC in New York, 880 on your dial.